This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on April 26th, 2012. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
From 202 area code.
Next matter on the agenda is Draft Advisory Opinion 2012-11, Free Speech. We have with us this morning Mr. Ben Barr and Mr. Stephen Klein. Okay, we're going to get going, and we may be able to have Commissioner Walther join us. But here we go. Back again to Draft Advisory Opinion 2012-11, Free Speech. And Mr. Stepanovic, do you have a presentation for us this morning?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Chair Hunter, and good morning, Commissioners. At the open meeting held on April 12, the Commission considered agenda documents 1224 and 1224A in response to requests for advisory opinion filed on behalf of Free Speech. Consideration of these agenda documents has been held over from that open meeting to today's open meeting. Agenda document number 1224 concludes that none of the ads would be express advocacy, none of the proposed donation requests would solicit contributions, and Free Speech's proposed activities would not require it to register and report as a political committee. Agenda document number 1224A concludes that 7 of the 11 proposed ads would be express advocacy, 2 of the 4 proposed donation requests would be solicitations of contributions, and Free Speech's proposed activities would require it to register and report with the Commission as a political committee. Since the April 12th open meeting, The Commission has released another draft advisory opinion designated as Draft C and presented before you as Agenda Document 1224B. Draft C concludes that one of the Free Speech's proposed ads would expressly advocate the election or defeat of a clearly identified federal candidate. None of the proposed donation requests would solicit contributions, and Free Speech's proposed activities would not require it to register and report as a political committee. The Commission has not received any comments since the last open meeting, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Thank you for joining us again, Mr. Barr, and welcome, Mr. Klein.
Thank you.
Does anybody have any questions or comments? Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I thought about saying some of this when we were when I was making the motion on the late submitted documents, but I decided not to say this with the kids in the room.
That was nice.
You know, I mean, it's not that unusual for commissioners to submit late submitted documents, including really late submitted documents, but that usually means that commissioners are all working together to come up with something that we could vote for at the table. I've never seen a 56-page draft with substantial revisions from the earlier draft that wasn't even shared with colleagues until 10:30 the night before the meeting. And I have to tell you, I turned off my BlackBerry at that point, so I didn't see it until this morning. Still haven't read the whole thing. I just didn't have time. I assume that this document was not written to inform deliberations at the table today because it wasn't given to us in time for us to really read it. And I assume it wasn't provided so that the requester could comment on it because he didn't get it until even later than I did. So I'm not sure who your audience is for this, but it's clearly not me. And I'm not going to attempt to engage on it because, as I said, I haven't had time to read it. I do think that there are a couple of sort of meta issues about this request, one of which we can address and one of which we really can't. I think implicit in your request, and I don't think you're going to disagree with what I'm about to say, is the notion that in a world where billionaires can make multi-million dollar contributions to super PACs, does it make sense to ask three ranchers who want to spend a few thousand dollars on a few ads, does it make sense to ask them to register as a political committee and go through all the hoops that entails? And I think that's a very I think that question is implicit in your request. I think it's an interesting question. It's plainly not one that we can answer. It's a question for Congress as to whether the thresholds are set at the right levels. But I do think it's implicit in your request. And as I said, I think it's an interesting and intriguing question, and it's one that's worth other folks talking about. I think the question that is in your request that is that we can answer and we attempt to answer, and by the way, I was prepared to answer it 2 weeks ago. You know, I think three of us were ready to vote 2 weeks ago, and I'm sorry that we were not able to do that. That was not from the delay was not on our side. The other question that I think is you know, sort of the meta question that's raised by your request is whether an ad that is an attack on the character qualifications and fitness for office of a clearly identified candidate can then segue into a call to action that is, in some instances, a complete non sequitur, whether that will save it and thereby make it not express advocacy. And I don't think the answer to that is yes. And interestingly enough, as I said, I didn't thoroughly read my colleague's draft, but I did note that their analysis of the financial reform ad, which I do appreciate that your position changed on that, and I think that's the right, you came to the right conclusion there. In my colleague's analysis, it says the addition of the statement, call President Obama and put his antics to an end, does not negate the fact that the ad contains express advocacy. They, of course, go on to say under Section 100.22A. Now, I agree with the first part of that. The addition of a statement at the end of the ad does not negate the express advocacy that was previously expressed in the ad, if express advocacy can be expressed. That's a little bit redundant. Our big disagreement here, again, speaking at the meta level, is whether we're going to apply 100.22B or not. And, you know, we say yes, you say no. Okay, that's, you know, really, that's the whole ball of wax right there. And that's really all I have to say. I'm going to continue to support the draft that I was ready to support 2 weeks ago.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Commissioner McGinn?
Just one question for the, actually two questions for the requester. One, I'm going to give you an opportunity to, not that you have to, but comment on any of the drafts one final time, and then any thoughts you have on anything that's been said at the table. Nothing specific in those questions, general questions. I'm curious to hear your thoughts and give you an opportunity to weigh in.
So I've just worked my way through draft C during the earlier proceedings. And, you know, it seems to be an expansion of what we saw, excuse me if I'm using the denominations, or what I think was B, before. And I take no issue with the analysis, I believe the financial reform ad, that bears a similarity to MCFL. What works and what is helpful in draft C is the clear articulation of legal standards that the FEC is applying in its interpretation and prospective enforcement of 100.22B. That's what we're looking for, so that the organization and the individual speakers will be able to go out and be in compliance with the law. So it is helpful on that front, and it enables us to be able to exercise our First Amendment rights and in compliance with the Act. As to comments about the meta discussions and philosophical considerations, I don't have anything to opine on those points.
Any other questions, comments? Okay.
I guess each of us can make motions on our drafts. Just to comment on something that the vice chair mentioned. I mean, that this was later than we intended. I think that we would have liked to have gotten this out earlier. It was our intention to. It's a fairly lengthy and involved analysis, and it wasn't the result of trying to sandbag or drop something late. It was just that it just took a lot of time. And I don't think there was any mystery from after the last meeting. There is some overlap, but I think that we were on fairly different planes on where we thought how this question was going to be answered, and so we viewed this more as kind of clarifying our thoughts on this. Not with we never expected or hoped that we were going to get others in light of you know, previous votes that we've taken and previous comments that we've made. But to the extent that we can get drafts out earlier, that's certainly our intention. But just wanted to raise that. But without any further ado, I move approval of draft C of draft advisory opinion 2012-11 as set forth in agenda document number 12-24-B.
Thank you. Any comments on the motion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
The motion fails 3-2. Any other motions? Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move approval of draft B as set forth in agenda document number 12-24A.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? No. The motion fails 2-3. Thank you very much. I believe that it would be useful for the Office of General Counsel to compile a advisory opinion that answers, I believe it's just one question that we're able to answer putting the two drafts together. Is it two? Is it a couple? I'm sorry. One in one section and then a couple in the other. Right.
Right. There are some ads that everyone agrees are not express advocacy.
That's true.
Right.
Sorry.
So
yes.
Maybe one that is, some that aren't. Right.
Okay. And we'll circulate that sort of consensus draft on tally vote as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.